Hello! Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. This week we are presenting Jack and the Beanstalk, a classic story adapted by Daniel Hines. Today we'd like to say a special thank you to Aaliyah and Amelie and their family, Caleb and his family, and Oscar, Ian, and Noah and their family. Thank you for helping to support our show, Caleb, Aaliyah, Amelie, Oscar, Ian, and Noah. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would also like to support the show and receive a thank you in a future episode, please visit patreon.com/stories to make a pledge, then send an email to amanda@storiespodcast.com and tell us who we should thank.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, you can team up with friends in Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Where you can meet talking flowers.
Life's full of surprises.
And where piranha plants sing.
And where Mario, Luigi, and Peach turn into elephants.
Wowie zowie!
And where this announcer turns into a...
super tiny announcer!
That's not in the game.
Sorry, got a little excited. Nintendo Switch, the home of Mario and friends. Game rated E for everyone. Game and system sold separately.
Hey, grown-ups. Do you ever want to whisk your family away on a fun and exhilarating adventure? What if we helped you make it a possibility every single week? And from the comfort of your home, car, or wherever you are. It's the Cat in the Hat Cast, a weekly podcast presented by our partners at Purina. Your pet, our passion. Fill your week with sing-alongs, laughter, and a pinch of mayhem as you spend time with the oh-so-mischievous Cat in the Hat and his cautious pal, Fish. Tune in with the whole family, including your furriest friends, because when we spend time together, the fun never ends. You'll never guess what surprises the Cat in the Hat will pull out of his hat next. Follow the Cat in the Hat Cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks. Enjoy the episode. Jack and the Beanstalk. Once upon a time, there was a young boy named Jack who slayed the mightiest giant in the land. He didn't use a sword or a lance. He didn't use armor or fire. He used an old rusty axe, 3 magic beans, and the wild, reckless courage that all young boys and girls seem to have so much of. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Our story begins in a little village, in a little house, with a little milk cow who was stubbornly refusing to give any milk at all. "Come on, Betsy," said Jack, pulling at the udders. "Just a little milk. You can do it, girl." Betsy mooed back loudly, but the dented tin milk bucket remained dry. With a sigh, Jack kicked the empty bucket across the farmyard and went to find his mother. Betsy's milk had been the only thing keeping them going. If she wasn't able to give any more, Jack wasn't sure what they would do. Mother was out front of the little house, desperately trying to coax a few small plants back to life. Jack watched her with a lump in his throat. Their fall harvest had been plentiful. Jack remembered the ears of corn and buckets of beans and great, fat pumpkins colored orange as the sunset. But of course, that had been before the giant had come. Jack could still remember that night. The giant's footsteps had shaken the earth as he stomped from farm to farm, breaking into barns and taking everyone's harvest. He was so tall, they had only seen his feet out the window, but Jack had been able to smell him. The giant smelled like milk gone bad, like a sweaty armpit after a long day at work, like an old swamp, black and green and rotting. Sometimes, when he was especially hungry, Jack could still smell it.
"Any luck with Betsy?"
Mother stood up and dragged a dirty hand across her sweaty forehead, leaving a smudge of mud. Jack shook his head miserably, but Mother only smiled a tight little smile.
"We knew she couldn't give milk forever. She's awfully old, Jack. It's not her fault that the giant stole everyone's harvest."
"I know. What are we going to do now?"
Mother shrugged.
"Nothing for it. Take Betsy into the market and sell her for whatever you can get. With any luck, it'll be enough to get us through winter."
Jack nodded and went to fetch a length of rope. He tied one end to Betsy's collar and held the other like a leash. With a last angry kick at the old milk bucket, he started off down the lonely dirt road. The sun climbed as Jack walked, and soon a warm breeze was rolling down, ruffling his hair and sending the autumn leaves pinwheeling around in little swirls and eddies. It was a beautiful day, but Jack was too bitter to enjoy it much. Lousy giant. Before he had come and stolen it all, they had had corn for meal and beans for stew and even pumpkins for pie, Jack's favorite. Now they were forced to sell Betsy, and they'd be lucky to make enough to eat porridge all winter. It wasn't fair. Someone should stop the giant. But how do you stop someone when you only come up to their ankle? Suddenly, Jack heard a strange voice yelling through the trees. He paused to listen.
Magical, marital, mystical, memorables, wondrous, widening, wizening, memorables, powerful, ponderous, pliable pieces, all guaranteed to see your wealth increases. So come, be you ugly or smelly or poor, to Mr. Macklin's magical store.
A magical store? Jack pushed through the trees, leading Betsy towards the voice. There was no path to speak of, but after a moment, he came into a small clearing. In the center was the strangest thing Jack had seen since the night the giant came. It was a market stand, held up by ropes and bars and webs in all the colors Jack could name, and even some he couldn't. Blazing bright along the side was a sign that said, Mr. Macklin's Magical Store. Running the stand and yelling aloud was a tall, slender old man with a pointed wizard's hat and eyes green and bright as new grass.
"Are you Mr. Macklin?"
Jack asked, eyeing the sign.
"Mr. Macklin I am, and you must be Jack. And never you worry, I have the things you lack."
Jack looked at the strange old man skeptically.
"And how do you know what I lack?"
"I'm Mr. Macklin. It's my business to know, and I come when I'm needed, when magic winds blow. You have a milk cow to trade, and it's food that you need, and I have just the trick for your family to feed."
Jack looked at Betsy and then back to Mr. Macklin.
"I'm sorry, I really can't. I need to bring her to the market to get some oats for porridge to make it through the winter."
"Porridge is fine maybe once in a while, but trade with old Macklin and forever you'll smile."
All around them, the trees rustled their leaves merrily. On some level, Jack knew that a random forest clearing was a strange place for a market stand, but somehow, he didn't think twice about that. In fact, he found himself imitating the old man's rhyming ways.
"All right, Mr. Macklin, curious you've made me. So, what is it that you have to trade me?"
"Here is my price, and forget the tax. I'll give you 3 magic beans and this lovely old axe."
From the folds of his robes, Mr. Macklin pulled out an old woodcutter's axe and 3 golden-colored beans. Jack leaned down.
3 magic beans? What do they do? Do they jump? Do they grow? Are they tasty to chew?"
"Wondrous things, thunderous things, bunderous, hundrous, funderous things."
"So you say and so you said, but all through the winter they'll keep us fed?"
"Through the winter and spring, through the summer and fall, through the nights and the days and the solstices all."
Jack looked at the magic beans and the strange old man and the woodcutter's axe and then to Betsy, skinny but chomping happily on some withered grass.
All right, I'll take the trade. All right, a deal is made."
A deal, he's taking the trade. You won't regret it. It's the best deal you've made. Take the beans home and plant them at your leisure, and then when they grow, follow them up to treasure."
So Jack took the 3 magic beans and the old axe and gave Betsy a hug goodbye and started on home. He was quite happy with himself until he rounded a corner and saw his mother laboring in the garden. All of a sudden, the craziness of the situation hit him. Had he really traded their only cow for 3 beans and an old axe? What had he been thinking?
"So, what did you get for the old girl?"
Mother asked. Well, nothing to do but tell the truth now, Jack thought.
"I met a traveling salesman in the woods. He was magical. He traded me this old axe and 3 magic beans for Betsy."
"Funny, Jack. What did you really get?"
So Jack told her the whole story, doing his best to get the rhymes and the colors and the rest just right, but the more he talked, the angrier his mother got. By the end, she just kept yelling, "Magic beans!" over and over. Finally, she snatched the three little beans from Jack's hand and threw them into the dirt of the yard. She took the axe and sank it into the woodpile. Then she sent Jack to bed without supper. Not that they had anything to eat anyway. Jack lay there, feeling miserable, belly growling, and promised himself that he'd wake up early the next morning and go find Mr. Macklin and trade back for Betsy. He'd make it right. He had to. For Mom. So the next morning, just as the sun peeked over the horizon, Jack slid from bed. Mother was still softly snoring, so Jack dressed quietly and slipped out the front door. Rubbing the sleep from his eyes as he crossed the front yard, he almost walked directly into the giant beanstalk. Giant doesn't do it justice, really. Gargantuan may be better. Or colossal, perhaps. Titanic, even. Picture the biggest building you've ever seen. This beanstalk blows it away. It was simply the biggest thing Jack had ever seen. A thick vine as big around as his house and so tall that the top was lost in the clouds. It was bright green and gold, with evenly spaced leaves, with stems that looked suspiciously like rungs of a ladder. "Magic," Jack whispered, running his hands over the plant. Then, without stopping to think about the danger, he began to climb. Hand over hand, he pulled himself up the giant beanstalk. Soon, when he looked down, his house looked like a toy among a patchwork of yellow and brown fields. Higher and higher he climbed, and below him the entire world seemed to spread out, small and hazy. Jack clung to the stems and continued up and up, thinking only of Macklin's promise that the magic beans would lead to treasure. When Jack passed through the clouds and into the blue sky beyond, he was met with a stunning sight. There, sitting on the tops of the clouds as though they were solid ground, was a castle. Not just any castle. A giant castle. And not just any giant castle, Jack realized. This had to be the giant's castle. Now a wise boy may have turned back home, but Jack, for all his strengths, had never been a very wise boy. So instead of turning home for help, he leapt from the beanstalk to the castle steps, landing and rolling and sprawling out on his back at the base of the impossibly tall door.
"Wondrous things, thunderous things, bunderous, hunderous, funderous things," Jack whispered to himself.
The door was chained and locked shut, but that wasn't a problem. Jack squeezed underneath it, through the gap between the door and the floor. Inside, the castle was quiet. And filthy. Bones were scattered along the stone flooring. Scraps of food littered every surface, and the stink of giant filled Jack's nose. Spoiled milk and sweaty armpits and rotting swamps. On a table 100 feet in the air, Jack could see a platter of pumpkins. No doubt about it, this was the home of the giant who had stolen their crops.
"Well, if he can steal them, then I can steal them back."
Jack crept over to the table and began to climb up the leg. He slipped once and almost fell 50 feet to the stone floor below, but he caught himself at the last second. Finally, huffing and sore, he pulled himself up onto the tabletop. The platter of pumpkins was there, each one as big as Jack's head and colored a deep orange. To Jack, each one was a meal, but the giant probably ate an entire handful as a snack. Next to the pumpkins was a wagon-sized bowl of roasted corn, a crudely carved wooden spoon longer than Jack was tall, and a leather coin purse big enough to be a backpack. Jack peeked inside the purse and saw 3 large golden coins, each the size of a dinner plate, and stamped with the likeness of some strange king.
"Wow," Jack said to himself.
3 golden coins that size would do more than get him through the winter. It would feed them and all their neighbors for years. He looked around the castle again, but there was no sign of the giant, just the hammering of his heartbeat and the soft clouds drifting by outside the windows.
"Thanks, Mr. Macklin,"
Jack said, pulling the coin purse on over his shoulders like a backpack and climbing down the table leg. He had just reached the floor when the great front door burst open. Jack ducked behind a table leg, shaking with fear. From his hiding spot, Jack could see 2 enormous feet and thick, gnarled legs stretching up and up into the air. And the smell was worse than ever, so thick that Jack could feel it on his tongue like fur. It was the smell of decay and death and all manner of evil things. The giant was home.
Fee, fi, fo, fum, the giant roared aloud. I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he alive or be he dead, I'll bake his bones to make my bread.
Now, Jack was very fond of his bones and definitely didn't want to see them turn to bread. He waited for the giant to cross the room, each step a thunderclap, and then ran for the front door.
Fee, fi, fo, fum! Come out, little thief, now! Don't you run!
Miraculously, Jack made it to the door and slipped back underneath unseen. Behind him, he could hear the giant moving furniture, still searching for him inside the castle.
That was too close!
Jack leapt from the castle steps and grabbed the giant beanstalk and carefully climbed back down to home and safety. That night, he showed his mother the purse and the 3 golden coins, and she apologized and they laughed and danced and cried tears of happiness. But the next morning, when they awoke to find the beanstalk still there, Jack decided he would make another trip.
But Jack, said Mother, with the gold we'll make it through the next 10 winters.
The giant stole everyone's food, Jack replied, and I'm going to make him pay.
So Jack climbed the beanstalk again, determined to find more treasure to share amongst his friends and neighbors. He entered without issue, and this time he found the giant's bedroom and climbed up onto his dressing table. There he found many unsavory and soiled things, but he also found a pair of earrings, each one with a diamond the size of his head. He put them into his pack and slipped back to the floor. He was just about to go under the front door when it banged open. Jack threw himself to the ground and felt the door miss his head by slim inches. Then came the smell. The giant was home.
Fee, fi, fo, fum,
the giant roared aloud.
I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he alive or be he dead, I'll bake his bones to make my bread.
This time, looking nearly straight up, Jack had a clear view. The giant was gnarled and ugly, hundreds of feet tall with a broad face and squinted black eyes. His red-veined nose bristled with long black hairs, and his crooked teeth were streaked with brown rot. Quiet as a mouse, Jack slipped right by the giant's feet and out the door, leaving the giant to search for him again. He climbed back down the vine and was home by dinner. That night, Jack and his mother invited all their neighbors and they shared in the treasure they had stolen from the giant. There was a great celebration and Jack was declared a hero. To honor his bravery, it was decided that Jack and his mother would get the largest share and the rest would be split evenly among everyone else to stay fed for the winters to come. Everyone was happy. But still, Jack couldn't help but think there was more treasure to be had. So the next morning, while everyone else still slept, Jack again climbed the beanstalk. Up and up and into the clouds he climbed, and when he reached the giant's castle, it was silent and still as it had been for the past 2 mornings. And, like the past 2 mornings, Jack jumped through the clouds to the castle steps and slipped in under the castle door. Except this time, unlike the past 2 mornings, a giant hand slammed into him, long and gnarled fingers closing tight around his body, digging in painfully and squeezing the air from his lungs. It was a trap. The giant had been waiting for him. The giant laughed, a sound like boulders breaking, and lifted Jack up and up until they were eye to eye. Jack needed to breathe, but the grip was too tight. He started to gasp and struggle, but there was nothing he could do to break the giant's relentless hold on him.
Fee, fi, fo, fum,
the giant roared aloud, his stinking breath making Jack gag.
Looks like I caught me an Englishman. He's alive, but he'll soon be dead. I'll eat him whole, never mind the bread.
Jack felt himself being thrown high into the air. He took a deep, whooping breath and tried to get his bearings, but he was spinning too fast and wild. He went higher and higher towards the castle's vaulting stone ceilings, peaked, and then started to fall again. Below him, he saw the giant's upturned head, mouth opened wide. The giant was going to catch him in his mouth and swallow him whole.
No, no, no!
Jack yelled, hands flailing. By pure luck, he caught a handful of the giant's bristling black nose hair and hung on for his very life, his feet dangling into the giant's mouth. Fueled by a very reasonable fear of being eaten alive, Jack began to climb up the giant's nose hair until he was standing on the monster's lip. The giant gave a roar of rage and tried to shake Jack off his face, but the boy clung on tightly to the nose hairs, ignoring the boogers that drooled out over his fingers.
"You're not gonna eat me!"
he hollered. But just then the nose hairs pulled free, and he slipped backwards, teetering on the edge of the giant's open mouth. He spun his arms.
"No, no, no!"
trying to keep his balance, but it was no good. He started to fall in. Luckily, as the nose hairs ripped free, the giant gave a mighty
ah-choo!
And Jack, the nose hairs, and a great ball of boogers shot across the room like a phlegmy rocket.
"Whoa!"
Jack yelled. He landed on the giant's bed, bounced twice, and then rolled to a snot-covered stop, the world spinning wildly around him. The giant sneezed again and again, but Jack knew he only had a moment. Staggering and lurching, he ran to the edge of the enormous bed. Peering over, he saw the giant's dirty blanket stretched all the way to the floor. "I could use it as a slide," Jack thought. "Or maybe it doesn't work and I smash into the floor." Decisions, decisions. Before he could make up his mind about what to do, the sneezing stopped.
"Fee, fi, fo, fum,"
the giant roared again, lumbering across the room.
"Come back, little thief boy. We aren't done."
Out of options, Jack closed his eyes and threw himself off the side of the bed, the giant's crushing hand missing him by inches. He fell into the blankets and began to slide. Faster and faster he went until he shot off the edge of the fabric and went bouncing roughly across the stone floor. The giant roared and came after him again, but Jack dodged under a table, slid under his deadly fingers, and then shot out under the front door. He leapt from the castle to the beanstalk and began to half-climb, half-slide down the plant, ignoring the leaves and stems lashing up against his skin as he went. He hit the ground in front of his house a short while later with a thump, bleeding from 100 little scrapes and panting like an old dog.
"Jack! Jack!" Mother cried. "Are you okay?"
Jack started to say he was fine, but then the beanstalk shook. Peering up into the clouds, Jack could see the giant had left the castle and was attempting to climb down the beanstalk.
"The giant! He's coming after me!"
"Jack, come on! We've got to run!"
But Jack remembered Mr. Macklin instead. He ran past his mother to the woodpile and pulled out the old axe that had been part of the trade with Betsy and the beans. It felt warm in his hands.
"Out of the way!"
he yelled and began to hack at the beanstalk. It shook with every step from the giant's massive feet, but still Jack chopped and chopped, Mr. Macklin's old axe biting through it like butter. After a minute, it began to tip and groan.
"Jack, you gotta move!"
Mother called. Jack looked up and saw the beanstalk was beginning to fall towards him. He dove out of the way and watched in awe as the whole towering thing came crashing down to the ground. And that was the end of the beanstalk. And better yet, that was the end of the giant. But it was only the beginning of Jack the Giant Slayer. From that day forth, words spread about what Jack had done, and he traveled from town to town, armed with nothing more than his courage and Mr. Macklin's old axe, slaying giants and saving the day. So next time you go out for a walk and don't get crushed by a giant's foot, just know you have Jack to thank. The end. Today's story, Jack and the Beanstalk, was adapted by Daniel Hines and performed by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support the show and receive a thank you in a future episode, please visit patreon.com/stories to make a pledge, then send an email to amanda@storiespodcast.com and tell us who we should thank. Thanks for listening!
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.